Don't you power play the gospel in men's souls based on their need. You teach them Jesus' love by becoming it. And when they cross the line, it's because he's amazing and they've never saw anyone like him. You hear me? We'll do a whole lot more effectively if we preach on men's value instead of men's sins. Because if you preach on men's values, it'll separate them from their sins, because they'll wonder why they're living so below the truth once it pierces their heart. And the truth will begin to make them free. You point out sin, you make men conscious of sin, and then they're in a war against it, and Jesus already won it. You preach on value, you'll call men up and out of the bondage of sin. You teach men's value and purpose and their created identity through God, and they'll have a desire to live toward that and for that.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm preaching clear gospel to you. You've got to take this into your life and your heart first. Become it and manifest it to the world. Come on. Two greatest commandments. You can hang all the law and the prophets on these two commandments, right? Jesus said you can hang all the law, all the prophets on these two commandments. Love God with everything you are, right? And the Bible teaches you can't love him unless you see his first love. So the way you come into this thing has to be he loves you. Has to be. Not you're a sinner and you need to repent. When you see he loves you, it'll convict you of the sin and you'll want to repent. Amen. It's not because, look, if you don't pray this prayer, you're going to go to hell and not heaven. And if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, I need to know who you are so we can pray this prayer. I'm not a fan of that because I don't see it in my Bible. It's all about the change of nature. It's all about who you're created to be. It's not about saving yourself. It's about dying to yourself so you can live unto him.
Yay!
You get it?
Yeah.
But man, through the fall, became self-centered. Self-focused. Now, I'm a little passionate right now. I'm not mad at anybody. Don't misread my emotion. This thing's getting even hotter in me right now. We have preached this gospel in this country at the cost of creating even a stronger stronghold of selfishness now that we're confessing Christians than before we even prayed the prayer. Because we make it all about us receiving from God and being provided for from God and all these promises for a better day. And some of us are only using our faith for a better travel to work instead of a transformed nature.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Come on, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
This is truth, and Jesus didn't pay for that. He paid for a born-again experience, not applying principles to give you a better day. Don't exasperate all your faith just for a parking spot. If God blesses you or you have faith for favor, fine. But the problem is when you don't get it, you wonder what you did wrong, and it separates your identity, and you start living with a veiled face instead of unveiled. You had three red lights instead of two, and you wonder where you missed God, or does he hear you today and love you? People do that stuff. And they question all the time their identity. Come with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. For you're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord.
Oh, man.
Do you see what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
What's wrong with me is I believe what I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
And watch this. Here's the security of it. And I know this isn't the case, but not one of you would have to believe it. Doesn't change a thing. Every one of you can curse me and leave. I know that's not the case. What I'm saying is, why are we determined by men and life instead of truth? When do we get alone with God and really surrender and yield and let Him love us and forgive us and wash us? When do we stop calling friends for prayer and ministry and deliverance and just stand in our bedroom and say, thank you, you've delivered me. Thank you, you've translated me from the power of darkness. Thank you that sin shall have no dominion over me because you cursed it in the flesh and I go free. Yes, come on! Yes, that should be the Christian prayer! Cat, oh God, help me, God, please, God. Car's not running quite right. The boss is acting like a jerk. And Freddie, my coworker, I can hardly stand him. Please, God, would you knock them off their horse and change them? That's kind of stuff we do. God, they're really getting on my nerves. Would you please touch them? He's thinking, I wish you'd let me touch you.
Yes.
Because I promise you, you never got on God's nerves. You provoked His mercy and His grace in any way you lived outside of Him. He didn't avoid you, He pursued you. Because He knew the truth about you. And He realized you were living way less than your created value in a blind and a demise of deception. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I'm guilty of preaching the gospel again to you tonight. I hope you're hearing. I want to read what Peter said, okay? I feel like I'm supposed to do that. Yep, I'm supposed to do that. I had to check in with Papa. 2 Peter chapter 1, real quick. I want to be quick with this, and we're just going to close and pray for one another. God, you're so amazingly good. Come on. I don't come to God because I'm afraid of God. I don't come to God because I'm afraid of judgment. I come to God because He came to me through His Son and I realize He loves me and He's trying to show me something I've never seen about me. And if I let Him love me, I'll begin to enter into that truth and become everything He designed and created me to be. Stop running from that truth. Anyone in this place that would run from that, don't be your own worst enemy. You don't need another critic. You don't need to criticize yourself. You don't need to be your own. You know what I'm saying? It's time to let the gospel love you. Yeah. There's two greatest commandments. Love Him with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself in God, you'll never see others in God. If you don't love yourself, how can you love the world around you? At best, you'll just kind of reach out as some false thing to try to make you feel better about yourself because you're reaching out. But it's not love. It's actually, you get it? Come on. Trying to meet your own empty, deficit, twisted need. All of a sudden, you're reaching out for you. That's why when people don't receive you reaching out, you feel rejected. It's impossible to reject love because love doesn't reach out for itself, it reaches out for others. It's impossible for you to reject me. I'm accepted in the beloved and I love you. And you don't have to receive it. I won't feel rejected. I will grieve on the inside, pray, intercession, tears, and it'll manifest more love. I want you to all look me in the eyes. I don't have a devil, okay? It's impossible for you to reject me. Because I love you. It's impossible for you to emotionally abuse me because I know the truth about me in Christ. And if you say anything less, you're just misinformed and don't understand. That doesn't make me arrogant. That's not like people that say, watch, that's not like people that say, well, I don't care what they say. Well, I already know who I am. God loves me. I don't care if they don't love me. You're already revealing that you're ripped by what they said and you're spiritually phrasing it because you're hurt and crushed. Okay, I'm on this thing now. It's impossible to have this, viably have this and not have this. Totally impossible. Because the manifestation of this is this. Because you love God, and when you love God, you love your neighbor as yourself. And when you have a healthy view of yourself, you'll see others through that view. If you could ever see your value in Christ, you'll see everyone's value in Christ. It doesn't say unless they're acting like a jerk or knucklehead or the words we've grown up with, because there's no such thing. They're misinformed, blinded people that need truth and your love and mercy. It's impossible to have this and not have this. I don't even encourage us to walk around and tell people how close we are to God and how much we pray and how much relationship we have God and how God meets us in the secret place and takes us and sits us on his lap in the throne room. That you don't have to verify and qualify all that. People will know you've been with God by your love. A lot of people say all this stuff to affirm what's already a deficit in their life. They're trying outwardly to affirm what they don't see they are. It's a false affirmation. It'll leave you dry in the end. You know them by their fruits, not their confessions. No one can do the things you do, Jesus. He didn't say no one can say the things you say. No one can do the things you do unless God be with him. You're the steward of your own heart, church. Protect it and guard it, Proverbs says, because out of it flows the issues of life. Keep your heart in him. He loves you, and he loves you so you become love. I say this with a passion all the time. The finished work of Christ, exalted and revealed, is when a man or woman becomes love, not prays a prayer to go to heaven. The finished work of Christ is fulfilled, dividends paid in full, total interest back to Father, the inheritance, the glory of the inheritance in the saints. There's an inheritance in the saints because there's a great deposit with interest. Oh, one for all. Conformed to his image, predestined to be sons. The greatest glory and exaltation of the finished work of Christ, the greatest dividend back to the Father, isn't when a man prays a prayer to get his name in a book called life. It's when his nature's changed back to original value.
Yes.
Yeah. Because then Christ just reproduced himself again and again and again till the whole earth is filled with his glory.
You getting it?
Man. Do you hear that little child? That's how I feel. That's how we ought to all feel. Man, we ought to lighten up and rejoice. The kingdom's come. We ought to rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand. Obviously, you don't understand. If you say, yeah, but. We have a phrase back home, yeah, buts are devils. Always. Unless they're yeah, but God, rich in his mercy. Yeah, but God, right? He never created you to talk yourself out of him. Don't say, well, God gave me the ability to reason and this and that. No, man submitted to another voice, and we've been subservient since, and we hear the stranger's voice, but we're called not to follow. The word has come, follow Jesus. We must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Before they heard the voice in the garden, all they knew was God and his voice. It wasn't until suggestion came that man began to reason. All of a sudden, we don't get that part renewed in our life, and we talk ourselves out of power, talk ourselves out of forgiveness, talk ourselves out of love, talk ourselves out of hope. And our reasons almost sound viable to us, and we believe our reasons instead of his word.
Whoa.
Yeah, but brother, just let me explain. You don't understand. And all of a sudden, we're justifying things with human reasoning to qualify continuing the flesh and selling ourselves short of a finished work. And we start believing those reasons. I've had hundreds of counseling appointments of people that sat me down to verify their reasons for being less than what I'm preaching. And I don't mind it, because I gently, lovingly, with a sword, cut off that head.
Because I love you.
It's an ugly head. That head is ugly. It's not you. Serious. If you would just submit to the word. Seriously. Okay, this isn't judgmental. This is for us. I'll look up. I'm not looking at, you know, I don't want to cross eyes with somebody that you're talking to me. If you would sincerely lock yourself away with the word of God and cry out sincerely from a heart of faith, I just want to know you. Yeah. And in knowing you, I want to know who I've become. You won't help but to live by truth. God himself will come and restore and renew your mind through truth. If any man, John 7:17, wills to do his will, wills to do his will, he will know the truth concerning doctrine, whether it's God or whether it's man. The pure in heart shall. I don't read my Bible to be right. I don't read my Bible for you. I read my Bible to know him. You follow me?
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit will reveal him. Because I'm hungry and I'm seeking and I surely shall find.
Oh.
You know what Jesus told me the first time I ever preached? I was 6 months old in the Lord. And I was asked to preach. And I was a little nervous. And here's what the Lord told me. And I thought, I can't say that. That don't even sound fair. God's profuse. He said, I want you to open by saying you can have as much of God as you want. And as much of God as you see in a man's life is as much as he's really pursuing. Amen. And I thought, what?
And I thought, I'll just preach it and see how it flies.
And when I preached it, God gave me a whole lot of understanding behind it. And talked about hunger and real true desire. And you say, Dan, that's not a fair statement. Some people get deceived and some people get waylaid and some people... Yeah, but hunger rises above those things and refuses to be refused. There's a deep down heart cry in every one of us, or you wouldn't even be here this week, and some of us on a Saturday night. You know there's more. You want more. We have convictions all the time that there's more. Be real with me. All the time we get little flashbacks that we're really not satisfied. We're really not face to face like we could be. We're just scratching this thing. There's got to be more. There's a river. I feel like a stream, but there's a river. Come on, we all get that stuff. Who doesn't get that stuff? Come on. Deep down, and you could be a total unbeliever, and there's a gnawing and an urging like that in your life, whether you realize what it is or not. It's a call to truth. Come on.
Amen.
So you respond to that, or we allow ourselves to be deceived by all these other things. And what God was telling me is he's totally available. Pastor, he was telling me he's not holding back. He's not holding back. You're not asking, and he's saying, no. Ask, and it shall be given. What are we asking for? More of his Holy Spirit, understanding the power and presence of God, the manifestation of love. We're seeking Holy Spirit. We're seeking more of him in our life, and he won't hold back. There's only one thing that can stop that process. If you don't come in this thing to be transformed into his image, you can't come in this thing for you. You've got to come in for his name's sake and for others. I am not alive for me. I'm alive for him and you. That's why you can't hurt me. You're absolutely, this gospel rendered you powerless where that's concerned. You can edify me. You can sharpen me. You can cheer me on. I meet countless Christians hurt by the church, hurt by pastors, hurt by leaders, countless leaders hurt by their people. And I'm thinking, man, it sounds like none of us have died. It sounds like we're all living for us and incorporating God in and making him in our image instead of him in ours. What are you doing hurt? Why? Why aren't you crying for the person that hurt you because of what they're not seeing? And why don't we have mercy? We've been shown so much mercy. Why don't we have mercy? I wonder if we don't understand and we're in this thing for us. instead of be transformed into his image. Do you know what Satan believes about every one of us? He believes you're in this for you, and the only reason you're seeking God is for what God can do for you. That's what Satan believes. I could show you that in the Bible. He told God, you take away Job's blessing, he'll curse you to your face like any other man. You know what he was saying to God? People don't love you. They all belong to me. They're all just like me. You know what I did to them in the garden? They became like me. Selfish, jealous, proud. They'll sell you out in a minute if things don't go their way. People don't love you. They've been severed from love. That's his accusation. Day and night against the church. That's why he brings trials and troubles and afflictions, because he believes you'll manifest selfishly. He believes you'll get mad at God and create theology. Why did God do this? Why did God allow this? Why is God putting me through this? Well, I got an issue with God. Well, I can't wait to get to heaven. I got some questions for the Lord.
Yeah.
And all the while, it's the thief sneaking away like a snake in the grass, accusing God to men and men to God. And here we are, with untransformed minds and unrenewed hearts and minds, falling right into it with human wisdom in the way that seems right to a man, laced all through our gospel. Come on, I'm talking to you tonight. God never did anything but send his innocent son for our guilty lives. I bet he's not the problem. I bet he didn't let your child die. I bet he didn't kill your husband. I bet he didn't just let the tragedy happen flagrantly and just sit and whistle with his arms crossed and say, do you hear someone praying, Jesus? I bet there's a thief, and I bet we're in a war. And I bet it's time to not love our own lives unto death so we can fight the good fight of faith and win and crush the head of the enemy. I bet it's time to get a right and healthy perspective and stop accusing God and calling him the thief along with the devil. It's pretty arrogant when the devil says to God's face, every man's like me. If things don't go their way, they'll curse you because they're only in it for them. Nobody loves you. Nobody really loves you. They all love themselves. But they'll receive from you. They'll take your blessing. They'll take your favor. But they don't love you because they've lost love. That's his arrogance. Don't you let that be true in your life. And when God showed me that, that sobered me. He ain't playing me like a puppet no more. Them strings are cut. He ain't playing me like a fool. The devil is lost. That thing is over. I love not my own life unto death. I have nothing in this thing for me whatsoever. That's why I can look you boldly in the face. I've been preaching like this for 15 years, and I can tell you I haven't had conviction of being hurt or offended in 15 years, and I continue to say it. If I was popping off, I'd have been crushed long ago. I'm looking you in the eyes and telling you, I love you. You have no power over me. I love you. You can't offend me, emotionally abuse me. Let's get off of psychology and get into the gospel. Let's stop letting the way that seems right to a man be the way that we live. And let's let the gospel transform our heart and soul. Because if our eye is single, our whole body's filled with light. If we have a clear and single view, we'll live just like the master. If I couldn't follow him, he never would have told me to. We think it's just the signs and wonders and miracles. No, it's the heart and nature and character. We think it's the power. It's the love. It's all about love.